Well, passing from 1 year into the next year, and I said this in our prayer, but it's not just a thing that we kind of came up with. There's plenty of scripture, Genesis 1:14 to start out with, that God has marked out day and night and days and seasons and years, and there's significance with that. How many of you like that you get a new day tomorrow? How many of you, sometimes it's like, I really need a new day tomorrow because we kind of mess up the current one that we have. And what comes with each new day? Mercies. Every morning we have new mercies. Did you know, in Lamentations 3 says this, without those mercies, we are consumed. Do you know what consumed means? There's nothing left. And so it's the mercy of God that sustains us. So we need to step into those new days with mercy and step into this new year with mercy. It's got great spiritual significance, and then it also is an opportunity for us to get this a little better, you know, to do what we do a little better. I think a big word for us this year, I'm not saying this is your word for the year, but intentional, that we're very mindful. How many of you know we're creatures of habit? And we can get in a place where we just do things almost by rote. And when we do the things of the Lord in that way, it becomes religious and mindless and heartless and therefore powerless. Are y'all hearing me? And so we want to do what we do, especially the things toward the Lord and toward precious people in our lives. We want to do those things with great intentionality. How many of you have the YouVersion app on your Bible pad or whatever else, okay, or phone? YouVersion is completely free. This year, they surpassed the 1 billion downloads for that app. And it is an incredible Bible app for you. There's reading plans, a whole lot of things there to help you. I would encourage you to get YouVersion. And I saw this the other day, that YouVersion, for the fourth time in 6 years, the verse of the year, and we'll put this up for you. This was the verse of the year, Isaiah 41:10. And it says, "Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand." How many of you know that's a good verse for the year, all right? And I definitely see why that would be a verse for the year. At least make it your verse for this day, okay? And realize that you have the presence of God to strengthen you and to help you, and you don't have to be afraid. If you're afraid today, you don't have to be afraid. If you're discouraged today, you don't have to be discouraged. When you realize that God is with you and he will strengthen you and he will help you. Amen? Amen. All right, one other thing we're going to do in the new year. We're going to smile more, church. All right, good. That helps me out. Well, we enter 2026 with a lot of thoughts, a lot of news, a lot of ideas, a lot of goals, a lot of situations and questions and feelings. And we had better not enter 2026 without some faith. And here's where I want to go all this month. And we better not enter this year without being at least somewhat proficient in prayer. Say, I am a prayer. See, a lot of times I know so many people, well, I'm not really a prayer. And I want to punch them in the arm. You know, just to like, what are you talking about? Why would you pass on that? And I want you to see that prayer is a privilege, prayer is powerful, and it's something that you and I, every one of us, can be proficient in it. Long time ago, last century, I was a music major and trumpet player and so forth. And when I was a music education major, I had to take proficiency classes where I at least got some level of proficiency besides my primary instrument, which is trumpet. And so I had to learn percussion and piano and voice and some of those things to at least get at a certain level. It didn't work so well. But we are going to become proficient in prayer. I think it needs to be one of the main things in our life. Amen? So we did this last year. We're going to do this again this year. We're going to have, starting tomorrow, everybody say tomorrow. 21 days of prayer. 21 days of prayer. On your way out today, you're going to be receiving this card. And starting on the 5th, going through the 25th, you'll get this. For every day, we have a topic. For every day, there is a verse. And there is a prayer. We even provide a prayer there that you can be very heartfelt about. On the card is a QR code. You know how to work those. Right? I mean, even if you go to Bob Evans, you can work the... Okay. So QR code, or you can go, there's nbcocala.com/21days of prayer. And you can go there, and every day it will shine for you there and show you what to do there. Our future is paved in prayer. We made this card stock so that you can hold on to this, use this. Everybody join in on it. And the other thing we're going to do on Wednesdays, everybody say Wednesday. Wednesday at noon for 1 hour, we're going to open the sanctuary. It won't be a prayer time in that somebody's leading that prayer time, but we're opening the sanctuary. We'll have some soft, beautiful music, just kind of creating an atmosphere where you can come and pray. And so just come and find a seat, kneel down, come up to the altar, whatever you want to do. If you can come for part of it, if you can come for all of it, you know, whatever works for you. But I just had on my heart, let's open up the sanctuary and offer a place for you to come. And so that'll be on Wednesdays, okay? Just on Wednesdays for an hour starting at noon. And I'll be in here. A lot of the staff will be in here. And let's come and let's seek the face of the Lord. It's in the Psalms and it's in the song we sang this morning. I sought the Lord and he heard me and he answered me. Amen? And so let's join on all of that together. Well, I want to start a new series today on prayer, but I'm calling it Elijah, Man of Prayer. Elijah, Man of Prayer. And just looking at the life of this great prophet, Elijah, he's one of the all-stars in the Bible. And maybe you've heard of him. All right. He's one of the MVPs of all the people in Scripture. First of all, he was a prophet. And one of the things about Elijah as a prophet, he was a non-writing prophet. So most of the other prophets, we have books, Jeremiah, Isaiah, Haggai, and so forth, that they wrote the major and the minor prophets. Elijah did not. I kind of wish that he had. But we see him in Kings and Chronicles and even in the New Testament reference and placement of him. A prophet, just so you know, is a chosen spokesman, an ambassador for God. A prophet would speak for God, speak out God's will, God's warnings, remind people of God's promises, would call people to repentance, would call people to faithfulness. It was more about forthtelling, speaking out for God, rather than foretelling. A lot of people confuse what prophecy really would be, but largely it's more of a forthtelling. He had what was called a mantle. Now, the physical symbol of that mantle was like a cloak or a covering. But it was more than that. It was a spiritual mantle that was on him. He passed it on, if you know the whole story, to Elisha. And at one point, that mantle then fell to him. He took it, and I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself here. Elijah took that mantle off at one point, representing authority, representing responsibility, and representing anointing and kind of special ability. And he actually struck some water, and the water split in two. How many of you would like to buy one of those? But just incredible and beyond our norm, beyond what we think about, but don't dismiss it. Some incredible things happen in his life. He prayed for and announced a drought, and it happened. He was hungry and alone at one point, and he was fed by ravens. It was the precursor of DoorDash or Uber Eats. No, for real, this is supernatural, and ravens brought him food. There was a widow who took him in, and he multiplied her meal and her oil. And it would have been limitless. He raised a widow's son from the dead, as far as I know, the first resurrection in Scripture. He called down fire from heaven on Mount Carmel. don't you wish sometimes you could call down fire? I'm just telling you, I could fix some stuff. There's certain events I go, that ain't happening. Anyway, back to our story. And he then prayed and announced and brought the rain back. Twice, his enemy sent a whole crew of captain and 50 soldiers to arrest him, and he called down fire on them. As I said, he split the Jordan River. Let me just show you a little bit. On Mount Carmel, he called down fire. And, you know, we don't have actual pictures of that happening, but just imagine this. And you need to go back and read this. He's actually in a debate, in a standoff with 450 prophets of a false god. And he said, all right, whoever answers by fire, that's the real God. And so they did their best. We'll get into it later. And then he said, all right. And then he more than set the odds against himself. God truly had to show up. And God showed up, and he answered by fire. Also, the transfiguration. Oh, let me back up. He was caught up then at the end of his life, a chariot of fire. Fire seems to be a thing with this guy. The chariot of fire came, and a whirlwind caught him, and he was caught up into heaven. And then in the New Testament, Jesus went up on the Mount of Transfiguration with several of his close disciples, and Moses and Elijah, who are already gone to heaven, appear with Jesus. The symbolism of that is crazy important. It's the fulfillment of the law, Moses, and the fulfillment of the prophets, which Jesus was the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. Very powerful, something certainly worth the read there. This guy, Elijah, just doesn't seem like your average Joe. And how many of you remember, like in school or after school or whatever, picking teams? You know, everybody lines up and you got two captains. Well, if I was one of the captains, I would be, let's see, I pick Elijah. Yeah, I would certainly want him on our team. And we're going to learn something about prayer, several things about prayer from Elijah during this month. Allow yourself to believe for supernatural. Our world, our media, ideology, education, everything else in our world has tried to dumb down the expansive power of an almighty God. With God, there's nothing impossible. But everything has been so cartoonized and so dramatized and then made spooky if it's out of something that I can explain or understand. And we look at the life of Elijah and we see a lot of supernatural. I want to see more supernatural in my life. You want to see more supernatural in your life. What is supernatural? It exceeds the natural. That God would help us in ways, I hope you're up for this, that God would help us in ways that we can't figure out. That God would help us in ways that we can't explain. Anybody up for that? Yes. Have y'all ever had some supernatural in your life? You have. But we need to expect and expand our thoughts and our heart, our spirit and our faith to realize there's nothing that God cannot do. Can I get a better amen from you today? Amen. That it's not just spooky and it's not just spectacular. And with the life of Elijah, as we look at him, he had some incredible things happen. But you know what? Always is around all the incredible, big, spectacular things, a whole lot of little things. How many of you look close at your life, you realize God is so good to me. God takes care of me. You just look around and you're going to see that God is at work in our lives. Amen. Now, stop looking for the supernatural just in crazy big stuff too. I'd learned this years ago and I love this saying. It'll be on the screen for you here. if you look for God only in the spectacular, you will miss him. Think about it. Read it with me. If you look for God only in the spectacular, you will miss him. And note for the back room, add in the only there. That's supposed to be there. If you look for God only in the spectacular, you will miss him. And even in the life of Elijah, there were times where God was not in the tornado. He was not in the earthquake. He was in the still, small voice. Amen. Look with me in James chapter 5. Everybody here?
Yes.
All right, James 5, verse 17, 18 in the Amplified Bible. Elijah was a man with, come on, help me. One more time. A man like what? With?
A nature like ours,
with the same physical, mental, and spiritual limitations and shortcomings. And he what?
Prayed.
He prayed intensely for it not to rain, and it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. Then he prayed again, and the sky gave rain, and the land produced its crops as usual. Now, first, and I don't know where the line is on this, but it helps to separate out a little bit the prophet part and the person part. So with him being a prophet, there was special anointing, power, authority, different things that went with that. So there's some things I think are just prophet things. So look at me real quick. Don't start believing God that you can call down fire. Okay? And if you do, please be careful. Okay. But I think we've got to separate out the gifts from the guy and the prophet part from the person part. But when we look at it all, and Scripture reveals very focused for us here to realize that he wasn't, apart from that, superhuman or superhero. He was a man with a nature like ours, with the same physical, mental, and spiritual limitations and shortcomings. So the person, the guy, Elijah, you ready? He's just like you. He's just like me. In all these ways, he's just like us. And he prayed, and he got some amazing results. So if he's just like you and just like me, and that's where the book of James is pointing this in every way that it can, that if he got amazing answers to prayer and he's just like us, guess what? You and I can get some amazing answers to prayer. Can I get a better amen on that? Now, it's important to note that he got huge answers to prayer. Let me just insert real quick here. How many of you could use you got a couple biggies in your life right now. Yeah, I need God on this. Come on, be honest with that. Yeah. We've got to get there. We can get there. And I believe God is waiting for us there. He got some huge answers to prayer. And I want you to know this, you can too. You can too. And you can pray and you can receive huge answers, but I also want you to not miss this too. You can also pray and get little answers. Did you know the majority of your answers are gonna be little things? Don't overlook those things. And we start to get negligent in that with even giving him thanks. And that's why you need to start thanking him for little things. Little things. How many of you are gonna get some water today? Did you know that's for us a little thing? Did you know for other people that is a desperate big thing? I mean, on and on we could go with little things, little things. And you need to be asking God, praying God for little things. That's going to be the majority of it. Now, there are several things that we can learn from Elijah about prayer. There's a lot that we know about prayer. We teach on prayer regularly here. I believe that our church prays strong. I believe that many of you are well-versed in prayer. Some of the things we know, it's even on here, our future is paved in prayer. We believe around here that prayer works or prayer doesn't work. Prayer works. I've told you this time and time again, too. It's not prayer that you need. It's God that you need. And prayer connects you with God. And here's the thing about being connected with God. With God, there's nothing that he cannot do. There's nothing he cannot help. There's nothing he cannot fix. And I need to be connected to that. You need to be connected to that. Amen. Now, in the book of Deuteronomy, just briefly a little bit of background. In the book of Deuteronomy, God had warned and given what are called actually promises, that if the people turned aside and worshiped and served other gods beside God, drought would come. Drought would come and the land would be barren. The land would not yield food. Elijah knew this, and Elijah prayed this, because if he had a cause, if he had something he was hyper-focused on, it was this: monotheism. Monotheism. You don't have to know how to say it or really remember it, but it's this: it's one God. In our day, we have and in this day as well, we have a real mix. There's polytheism, which means many or multiple. Theism or theo has to do with God. So many or multiple gods. Or we have atheism, and that prefix a means without or none. So there are some that have no God. And if Elijah was centered up on something, it was this: there's one God. And look at me. There is one God. And he is the creator, and he is the savior, and he is the sustainer, and he is the righteous, almighty God. That's who we serve. And he was huge on this. Now, in our culture, we've got to make room for everybody and all of that, but you better get this settled in your heart, your mind, and at your address, that if God is God, serve him. Call upon him. But this was huge. And this was his beef with the people. This was the point of contention that he had with the prophets of Baal and then with the king and with Jezebel. That was their whole battle. That was their whole beef about God being one God or not, because they were very polytheistic. Elijah's name, get this, even means Yahweh is my God. Even his name reminded him of that. Dissect all of this. Elijah knew God. He knew God's word that was available at that point. He knew God's promises, and he was focused and committed to his faith. And so the big thing for us today is this, as we learn to pray, learn something from Elijah, is this: promises and faith. Promises and faith. Come on, read that with me. Promises and faith. Now, let me quickly go over a few things with you here. Number one, let me stop on this too. We just finished a new ebook, completely free to you. It's on our website on a series I did called Fortified Faith. Our team did an absolutely beautiful job with it. It's 21 pages. It's entirely free. This is to help to fortify your faith. But what I want to focus on in this series is fortifying your faith specifically for prayer, specifically for prayer. So here we go. Learn the promises. Say it out loud. Learn the promises. In the Bible, there are 8,810 promises, but there are 7,487 promises made by God to man. So roughly 7,500 promises made by God to man. You know this, we've talked about this. For every problem, there is a One more time, for every problem, there is a promise. And what we have to do is locate, not just stop focusing so much on the problem and learn, find the promise. And there is a, I promise you, there is a promise, either specifically or by category, for anything that you would ever face. And that's why I can boldly say, for every problem, there is a promise. Somebody say amen on that today. Romans 10:17 says, so faith comes by hearing. So hearing, get this, hearing is the result. And the more that you hear God's word and specifically hear God's promises, faith will come. And so you need to make this your first order of business. Learn the promises. Find the promises. Ask somebody, I need a promise for this out of God's word. Seek, search out, Google, find a promise, get a promise. And I'm telling you what, as you find the promise, learn the promise, look at me for this, faith will come. Supernaturally, you just watch this. Faith will start to rise when you start to realize God said this, God promised this. It will cause faith to come. So learn the promises. Secondly, believe the promises. Say it with me. Believe the promises. But I have to quickly segue to the second part of this. Believe the God behind the promises. See, it's not just believing the promise. You know, how many of you know somebody could call you and say, hey, I'm going to come help you. I see you're planting fence posts and you're cutting down trees. I'm going to come help you. And it's like, you never do anything. I don't even think you can walk. You know, I don't know that you have the tools. The last time I worked with you, you kept asking when was break. You know, but if somebody pulls up and they've got the equipment and they're strong and they're faithful and they got a good reputation and everything else, and they say, I'm going to help you with this, then you can believe that promise. Come on, y'all, you can believe that promise. And so God, it's believing the God behind the promises, then I can believe the promise. And so if somebody said, hey, I'm going to do this for you, and said, who said that and who are they, and you find out about them, then I can believe the promise because I believe the God behind the promise. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 in the Message, it says, let us keep a firm grip on the promises that keep us going. He always, come on, he always keeps his word. That B portion of the verse in the New Living says, God can be trusted to keep his promises. Paul said, I know whom I have believed and persuaded that he's able to do what he has promised. But this is the whole thing. It's Elijah's whole point, that monotheism is this: believe God. Believe God. And if you believe God, you can believe the promises of God. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21 in the Message, it says, Elijah challenged the people. How long are you going to sit on a fence? If God is the real God, and I say this to you today, if God is the real God, follow him. If it's Baal or somebody else, then follow them. But make up your minds. And it says nobody said a word and nobody made a move. So you know what he did? He prayed and he called down fire. And God answered by fire. Baal wasn't there. Matter of fact, we'll talk about it later, he made fun of Baal. He said, I don't know, guys, he's not showing up. And if you're reading some of the modern translations, he says he might be in the bathroom. I told you he's a guy just like you, a smart mouth, see? But God, hear me, God answered by fire. And you know what the people said then? They said, the Lord, he is God. God, he is the real God. He's the one true God. And so I'm just telling you, believe God. Learn the promises. Believe those promises by believing the God behind those promises. And then get this, and then pray. Pray. Look at me for this. Don't pray the problem. Don't pray the people. Don't pray the pain. Here we go. Pray the promises. Pray the promises. Remember, we stay on the right side of the but. Here's the problem, but here's the promise. And make sure that we don't, well, here's the promise, but here's my problem. You're entirely on the wrong side of the whole equation. Here's my problem. We've all got problems, folks. But what's your promise? Where is the promise? Find the promise. Get the promise. Learn the promise. Believe the promise. Believe the God behind the promise. And then pray the promise. And when you pray the promise, there's going to be a whole lot of God, you said, God, you said, God, you promised. And then specifically take that. Now, one of the other things I thought about back during the Battlefield of the Mind series, we got these to you. There's a whole bunch of promises right there that would apply to just about everyday life and situations. Learn the promises, believe the promises, believe the God behind the promises, pray the promises, and last of all, faith says thank you. If you truly believe God, and if you want to encourage that faith, go ahead and thank God for it. Because if you believe that he's good on his promises, if you believe that he's able on his promises, if you believe that he is willing on his promises, then go ahead and thank him. Faith says what? Come on. It says thank you. Used to be a whole lot of you said, and there should be a whole lot of thank you, God. Thank you, God, that you said that. And I'm trusting you for that. I could rattle off right now about a dozen things specifically that I'm praying for right now. I had my only surviving uncle reach out to me this morning. And he asked me for prayer. And I haven't been able to connect with him yet, but he filled me in on a text and then a voicemail. And you know, and I can't say, well, Uncle Bill, I don't know what to do. It's your problem. No, that's my uncle. That's my dad's brother. He's a believer. God, you see him. God, and that's a promise that God sees him. And as I find out what the details are, I will find the promises for the problem, and I'll take them back. It's like ordering off the menu. What do you have today? Well, let's see. And I promise you, there's a today special for you that will satisfy the problem that you're dealing with. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.